Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Wendy Ortiz. Wendy is a church planting wife serving in Puerto Rico since 2020. She's married to Oscar and mom to two kids, and she actually grew up in Puerto Rico, but they also were in Fort Worth, Texas for seminary, and they planted a church there as well in 2011 while in seminary. Wendy joins me today to talk about serving with small teams and serving in small environments. She shares the joys and challenges of starting a church with no core team and starting a second church with a small core team. You're going to love this conversation with Wendy as she gives us tools to think about serving well in small environments. Here, friends, is my conversation with Wendy Ortiz. I'm so excited to welcome Wendy Ortiz to the podcast. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I love seeing your face on the computer. I know my listeners can't see you, but because I got to meet you in your homeland in Puerto Rico about a year and a half ago when I got to come and speak to all of the Puerto Rican church planting wives, and I loved my time there.
Yes, yes, it was a blessing, and it was nice to meet you in person.
Yes, well, nice to meet you too. And now we get to chat. I get to pick your brain about all kinds of things. But first, would you introduce yourself to my listeners?
Well, as you said, my name is Wendy Ortiz. I'm currently serving in a church plant in Rio Grande, Puerto Rico. My husband started the church in 2021. We've been married since 2006. We just celebrated our 18th anniversary.
All right.
We are parents to Owen and Marina. At this moment, they are teenagers. We have a dog and we own goats.
I love how you added that. We have a dog and we own goats. What do you own goats for? Like, is it for a purpose or you just like goats?
It's a pet. They're pets for us.
Yeah. Well, prior to being, I know you're from Puerto Rico, right?
Yes,
originally,
ma'am.
But you lived in Texas for a while because you and your husband were getting educated at Southwestern and training for ministry. So while you were here, you planted a church while in seminary. I love that. Can you tell me about that time?
Yes. It was kind of crazy because we were young and inexperienced. So my husband was approached by a pastor, by another Hispanic pastor, to plant a church inside of an Anglo church. So we started there. And when we first started, it was just my husband and myself in this church, in this Anglo church that had so many like community services, like ESL classes and, you know, and the most people that were going to those classes and services were Hispanic. So that's where we started. And it was just us.
Just you. You didn't have anyone else. I'm assuming you had the support of the church that you were planting within, but you didn't have a core team.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Okay.
So as we started, well, we went to those ESL classes as like aides, you know, helping. Uh-huh. And then my husband started like a Bible study with the women because the main people that go to these morning classes were women. So he started a Bible study. And then after that, he said, well, it's time to start our worship or our Sunday meetings. And I was panicked because we didn't have no one to go. So another family from this Anglo church that allowed us to use the building joined us. So at that first meeting, it was us four. Owen was 2 years old. Marina was 11 months old. And these are this family of four that they were mixed. They were American and Mexican. So there was just eight people in that first meeting that it was kind of a prayer meeting.
Yes.
And then a while after, my husband said, well, we're going to start our worship service. And I was like, I don't know who's going to come, but people started coming. I don't know. God brought them. So that was crazy at the beginning. Very crazy.
That's very similar how we started. We had 10 people in our living room and 5 of them were Hoovers. And so I understand that completely. And my kids were little bitty. I had one crawling around on the floor trying to touch the guitar of the worship leader. So I understand that feeling of what are we doing and what have we gotten ourselves into? So I'd love for you to talk about that time, because there are so many women listening who are, they're either starting to church plant or maybe they don't have a team like what you said. What would you go back and say to yourself in those months?
Oh, what would I say to myself? God is going to do what he wants you to do, what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Just be obedient. Do what he calls you to do and help your husband. And don't be an obstacle for him. And believe in me. So, yeah, believe in God.
Mm-hmm. How long were y'all there? This was in the Fort Worth area, right?
Yes, ma'am. Benbrook, Fort Worth, South Fort Worth. Okay. So we were in this Anglo church for about, I think it was 3 years. Then we moved to another one very close by, but it was our same congregation, but in a different building. And we stayed there. So for the whole time, it was 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Total. And did you ever have anyone else come alongside your husband or you, you know, in terms of a team or other ministers?
Well, as the people were coming, we built a core group, you know, out of the people that were coming. So some people were talented in music, some others were in financial, you know, matters. And, you know, but I remember the first probably year, the pastor that approached my husband to do this new church plant, he provided like a couple for us to make the worship, but they stayed like for a year because they weren't from the area. They travel, they commute to go every Sunday to do that. But that was it. Mm-hmm. For the everyday life, it was just my husband and myself.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you more about that in a second, just being just the two of you. But I want to know, at some point you moved back to Puerto Rico and you did this again, right? And so can you tell us about the environment in which you're serving now?
Well, he in Puerto Rico, praise the Lord. My husband and myself had formal training on church planting through Zen Network Puerto Rico. So my husband was trained for about a year when we first moved back in 2019. Me as a church planting wife was also discipled. You know, actually your book, The Church Planting Wife, was key on that training. So now we know a little bit more and have learned from previous experiences. So not that we have, you know, that we got there, but we feel we've received the right tools to at least make less mistakes. Our environment is still small. This time our core group was 3 families for a total of 8 people. The core families were trained beforehand to be part of this new church plant. So we are doing things the right way. God put so many things in the right place so we could start with the right foot. Everyone was on the same page when we began our church plan in 2021. Okay. So these were the people serving. My husband preached. One of the other men who is now another elder of a church, he helps Bible studies, teaching, and help like a treasurer, like an administrator of the church. His wife was counting the offering. The other guy was doing the audio system. His wife was doing singing for worship. And our children were putting down and taking down chairs. So basically that was our core group at the beginning.
I love that. I love that. Although I say I love that, but I know that that is tough to do week in and week out. So I'm wondering before I want to ask about working in small environments, but before I do that, I want to know, okay, you started another church. You've done it once and you know what that took. And then you started a second one. What were your thoughts going into the second one?
I felt that the Lord was leading us to do that. He prepared our heart beforehand. It wasn't like out of the blue, you know? Uh-huh. So God worked in our hearts. We never thought we were going to go back to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Or coming back to Puerto Rico ever. But God started to work in our hearts as we prayed, as we read the scripture. And when my husband had the opportunity, or he was, you know, he was told, hey, there's an opportunity to go back to your land and do this. At first he was like, I don't think I want to go back and start a church there. But I was ready. God was working with me first. So when he said, well, I have this opportunity, what do you think? I said, well, when are we leaving? And he was like, what? No, you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to say no, or at least ask questions. But I was ready. God prepared our hearts to do that.
I love that. I love that. So let's talk about serving on a small core team, like what you said. Okay, first of all, it's just you and your husband the first time. Mm-hmm. But then three couples, that's still a small team. What do you think have been the benefits of and the joys of working with just you and your husband or with this small team?
Well, we are a family, so we know each other very well. We may have misunderstandings because our sin, you know, always goes out, but it's just us. It's just us. We work things together as a family, and we can be the church. It's very personal. It's very, you know, very straightforward. Also, the discipleship is more personal, and you can do one-on-one with, well, at least myself, I did it with the ladies, and our sins came out, you know, and we worked that out with the pastors, but it was great. I'm sorry.
Are you talking about discipleship with the other core team ladies?
In which one? This in Puerto Rico? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. We did a discipleship beforehand, before we started the church. So my husband stayed with the men, and I stayed with the women. And the book that we did was Seeking God, I think. And it was great. So it's more personal. Another benefit is that people discover they're gifted in areas they didn't realize they were. Because it's just us. So we need to try something that we are not very comfortable to do. But at the end, we said, oh, I'm gifted in this area. So that's good. Another benefit is that our budget is, you know, doesn't have to be big. So we can do great things with less resources. And the load of work, and this is tricky, another benefit, because the load of work is what we just can't handle. But it can be a challenge as well.
So let's talk about the challenges, because I know that there are challenges as well. And you mentioned some of the relational challenges, but yeah, what would you say are the challenges for you?
Yeah, sometimes we may be tempted to think that small is bad, mm-hmm. when it's not. We can probably get discouraged because we don't see that many people. But if what God wants us to be, it's fine. It's God's purpose. So another challenge could be if we are too focused on programs and attendance grow, we might try to do more things that we can handle, and burnout may come. So we have to, you know, be aware of that. And to me, another challenge as a church planting wife is that I would like to take control over things.
You might be the only one who struggles with that.
Things that I'm not called to do. So in our first church plan, I made so many mistakes. I overstepped my husband because I had an idea of what I thought it was best to make our church grow. And that still is a temptation, and I need to be accountable for that. So, thanks, yeah, control.
That. We can relate. And I think for me too, when the church started growing from that small 10, it was hard to release because we had been, everyone had been so involved. It was hard for me to release some of the things, and that's control.
Yeah, it is. So we need to pray a lot for that.
I'd love to talk about the relational difficulties, and I love that you said y'all have worked through those. You've been very intentional. I think that's so important when you're working on a small team. It's important no matter what, your size of your church or your team. How have you done that? Because I think that's super difficult, and I think sometimes church plants fall apart because they are unwilling to face head on that maybe we have some challenges relationally. So how have y'all done that?
Well, by the time we started, we were going to start this new church plant in Puerto Rico. I was mentored by a IMB missionary. Her name is Liliana Jambes. I love her so very much. And she's also a church planter along with her husband, Pastor Carlos Jambes. And she gave me this advice, and she said, you need to work on the heart of the people first before you start the church plant. So she and her husband is the mentor for my husband. Mm-hmm. So they said to us, or they provided to us some material, or they recommend to us some materials to work on. And as I said before, we did this book, The Seeking God. And that book is 12 weeks in. It's deep. Go deep in your heart. And our sins, my and our team, came out, and we worked through it biblically. And my husband, I love him so very much, and he's very wise. So he worked that out so wisely with each one of us. And we just, you know, surrendered to the word, and we all were in the same page when we started the church. And we are still, the whole team is still, you know, the core team is still with us, and they're very passionate about our church plant. So
I love that. I found it to be super important when we were serving with a small team to keep short accounts with one another. And I saw my husband and we planted with a single guy who we had known for a long time, but we had never served with him. And so it was really, you learn a lot about people when you serve that closely with them. And I learned watching them work through things when they disagreed. Their friendship and their relationship was the most important thing, and they were always willing to work through disagreement or frustration or hurt so that they could maintain that relationship above all else. And they have over many years. So I learned from that keeping short accounts is so important for the health of not only the relationship, but the church, mm-hmm. the church itself. So I think that another thing you mentioned this earlier about being discouraged when the church stays small, or maybe you, at least for me, I would look around and think, wow, everybody else, the other churches around us are growing, or they are bigger than us. And are we doing something wrong? You know, why are we not growing like that? And so there can be a lot of comparison and a lot of discouragement. Can you speak to that in your own experience?
Yes, of course. I had the temptation and I still have the temptation to compare our church to other churches that probably started the same time as we did. Because when we started, we weren't the only ones. There were other churches that started along with us in other places in the island. So yes, that's real. Also, another comparison that I do in my mind is sometimes I compare my husband to other pastors, and why he does the things, because it's control, as I said before, because I think what's best, and those are the two main comparisons that I probably have in my mind. But I hang on Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And I've seen that. And I praise the Lord because we obey in evangelism, and we do what we have to do, and we prayed, and but he at the end is the one who adds, is not us, and we have just to be faithful because he is faithful. And it doesn't matter if our church is 10 members or 100 members, those members were brought by God, not by us or by our, you know, by our way of doing things.
Yes. And there we're called to steward the people he's given us. A lot of times when I go through these comparisons in my mind, I go through certain thought processes, and one of them is what you just said. God has brought people to us, and those are the people I'm called to, not to the people at so-and-so church down the street. These people, and by being faithful to serve these people that God has given us. And, you know, I'm not called to be faithful in someone else's church or someone else's life or someone else's ministry. And I also think about how God has given me the specific gifts and ministry that he wants me to use. And so am I being faithful to do that? That's what I would always come back to, that question. Am I being faithful? And if I'm being faithful, it's the Lord's, it's his work, as you said, to do the saving and the bringing. So that's really good. I would love to know what you would say. There's so many women listening who are in this situation. They're in small churches, or they're on small core teams, and they're feeling the burden of that, or maybe the discouragement of that. What advice would you give?
I would say you aren't another elder or pastor in your church. Release that. That's not a responsibility. Once I released that responsibility of my mind, I got peace, because it's not my work, it's my husband's work. Help your husband in whatever he wants you to serve. It's not in what you want to serve. Ask him, hey, can I help you in what I can help you? What do you need me? Always celebrate the small victories, or the small, you know, every new person that comes to church, you know, celebrate. Talk to other church planting wives if you have the opportunity to do that, you know. Hear from them, pray with each other, because that's very encouraging for us. We cannot do this alone. We need another ladies in the same, you know, small environment that we are. I would say be patient with your husband. The workload for him, it's bigger because of the limited, you know, human resources and economic resources. Mm-hmm. Be a good sheep to be shepherd. I would say, remember that it's not your work, it's the Lord's. So, you know, have peace in that.
Mm-hmm. Just a closing question. I'm wondering how you define success in church planting.
That's a tricky question. I would say people be saved. Doesn't matter the number. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's one baptism each year. That person was brought by God, and he's going to do whatever he wants with him or with her. Mm-hmm. So
I ask that because I think that we so often attribute success to a large church. A large church is successful in our minds, at least maybe in the Western idea of success. I don't know if it feels different in a Latin American culture, but I just think we have to think rightly about what success is. And what mm-hmm. you just said brings us back to the reason why we do what we do. That mm-hmm. is success. Yeah,
it is.
Wendy, thank you so much for joining me today. I know that there are women listening who have been so encouraged by just saying, hey, someone else is in my shoes, but also the practical tools that you gave us. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.